Blog Talk Radio.
Om Shabbat Shalom, holy way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, holy way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. And I am the light within your soul. In the essence of truth and right, love makes the circle whole. And here we stand in line, waiting for some sacred sign. But to find the balance is the purpose of this time. To restore the balance of the universal mind. And in the presence of my Lord of light and love, everything I see aspiring to be free. And when I call to thee and come on bended knee, surrender to the all-pervading light and love. Reflections of the one surrounding me with love. And I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. Within and without, above and below, yeah. East, west, north and south, I sense your presence. Without and within, below and above, yeah, yeah. East, west, north and south, I sense your presence. I sense your presence. Light and love, everything I find in tune with the divine. And here we stand in line, waiting for some sacred sign. But to find the balance is the purpose of this time. To restore the balance of the universal mind. I am the light within your soul. In the essence of truth and right, love makes the circle whole. And when I call to thee and come on bended knee, surrender to the all-pervading light and love. Reflections of the one surrounding me with love. For to find the balance is the purpose of this time. To restore the balance of the universal mind. And I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, holy way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, holy way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, holy way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom.
life at Shalom, Holy Angel of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. I sense your presence.
Well, thank you for joining me tonight on Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. My name is Jesse Ann Nichols George, and I am your hostess. The music you were listening to at the beginning of the show is I Sense Your Presence. It's by Shemshai. And I just want to say welcome to everybody that's here, whether you're jumping on for the first time tonight or whether you're returning and have been following us for a while. And I just had noticed from our chat room, we've been just growing and developing here, and it's exciting. And I really want to say thank you to everybody that's been supporting the show and keeping it going and helping it grow. Because I've seen a tremendous amount of growth over the last few months that I've been doing the show. And tonight, whereas last week we were number 3 on featured shows in spirituality in our category, we hit number 1 tonight. So I couldn't be happier about that. So thank you so much to everybody that's been supporting us. What I do with my work is focused on compassion. And I help people find and use compassion in their everyday lives. I've created the Genesis Clearing Statement, which some people have experienced on previous shows. And if you haven't experienced that yet, then feel free to go back into our archives, and you'll be able to catch one of those shows using the Genesis Clearing Statement. I've also authored 2 books titled Activating Compassion and Activating Compassion, the Workbook. I'm in the process of creating a new set of books that will come out hopefully in the next few months, and those will be based on relationships. And in addition to that, I've created the Compassion Tour, which is a multi-state nationwide tour including workshops, retreats, seminars, book signings, and fundraising events. And I am in the process of creating the tour for 2013. You'll be able to follow the events that are available to register for the tour at jessieannnicholsgeorge.eventbrite.com. And there's also an option there for those people that would like to support the work I'm doing or that would just like to gift money in whatever amount that they choose, for example, to help me get out to the fundraisers, because with those fundraisers, I do give 90% of what is brought in to the organization. Now, here at Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour, I look at different ways that compassion is in our lives, how to remove our blocks, resistances, frustrations, and more, letting go of judgment. Some weeks I'm discussing different aspects of how compassion's in and affects our life and the different areas of compassion. And some weeks I'm doing more exercises and practical implementations. And many times I've got guests on the show so that you can learn about their work and see how other things that other people are doing fit in with compassion and complement it. And I also will be highlighting some musical guests along the way. We had one of those back at the end of December, Claire Hadeen, and she was really, really great. If you missed that show, go back and listen to it. And then also I have nights that are just going to be call-in coaching nights where you can call in and share what's happening in your life, and I can work with you live on the air to get through things and make breakthroughs and answer questions that you have. So remember, when you share your experiences, you're also helping other people that are dealing with the same or similar situations in your life. So don't hesitate to ask those questions that you want to know about, because chances are somebody else is going through the same thing and they want to know about it and they want to learn about it too. Now, on tonight's show, I've got Rob and Janelle Alex, and we're going to be focusing on sacred sexuality and obtaining sensual ecstasy. Or sexual ecstasy, I should say, as opposed to sensual. If you have any questions for them as we get started into the show, you can always call in on our live lines at 760-542-4345, and you'll just press 1 when you're ready to ask a question, and that will show you in my switchboard, and I'll be able to help you out. And also, I'm going to be watching in the chat to see if any of our people in chat have questions tonight as well. So again, just a reminder, if you enjoyed this show, make certain that you tell your friends, your family, significant others, social network friends, all of those people out there that you're connected with. And they're just going to use the same link that you use to come into the show to listen to it in the archives. Or they can also go to my Activating Compassion Facebook page, and that's at facebook.com/activatingcompassion/notes. And I keep all of the archived shows there. So that makes it really easy to go back and find shows that you're looking for. Now, before we get started, every week what I like to do is I like to go into the 72 Names of God, which is by Yehuda Berg. And Yehuda is very specialized in the Kabbalah area. But I love his work because it's just so down-to-earth. It's so real terms, everyday terms that we can understand. And what I do is randomly open into the book, and I like to just see what the insight is. So every week we kind of get this little insight from Yehuda and get this little message. And it's always amazing to me how the messages seem to apply no matter what we're talking about or what we're dealing with from night to night. So let's see what we've got tonight. Okay, and again, appropriate. The word for God that we have tonight that we're focusing on is jealousy. When the problems of the world weigh heavy upon us, poverty, famine, disease, terror, and hatred, we can do something about it. Address the underlying root cause, our own jealousy. The insights he provides on this is, the upper world is like a vast cosmic echo chamber. Curse the heavens, and what happens? The echo chamber returns the curse to its point of origin. Kabbalah tells us the elevated region of the upper world is stirred when our own world stirs. The concepts of above and below refer both to the spiritual and physical aspects of human beings, the body and soul, and to the upper and lower stirrings of the cosmos and earth. Everything is tied together in a single stirring dance of creation. The chaos and strife that affects our that afflict our generation originates from negative forces swirling in the upper world. But these dark forces originate in the individual and collective actions of human beings. They echo our own destructive deeds. Though we may find it difficult to accept, our hurtful words, jealous stares, and envious thoughts about others have a cumulative negative effect in the spiritual realm, which in turn generates personal and global suffering. To eradicate the darkness and chaos from human existence, we must extinguish the parallel forces in the upper worlds through the power of this name. And the meditation that Yehuda gives is, you ascend into the upper world to diminish the forces of darkness caused by your jealous stares and envious thoughts. In turn, you lessen the pain and suffering in the world. So that's some pretty powerful, amazing stuff to think that we can get in there and really alleviate a lot of these pains and suffering that is in the world out there. So we thank Yehuda for that message tonight. That's going to be a great thing to kind of contemplate and perfect fitting in with relationships, Valentine's Day, and sacred sexuality. Now, as we start to delve into this topic tonight, I have a few thoughts here to share. Shiva and Shakti, sacred union, expanded bliss, the merging of souls, Tantra. These are just a few terms that have become commonly known in the realm of fulfilling relationships and sexual experiences. For so long, the realm of pleasure, enjoying physical contact, and sexual encounters has remained very taboo in our culture. While 50 Shades of Grey has been a major part of opening the door to this world, has it complemented or hindered the work and practices that have been happening for a much longer period of history? Through many times and cultures, there have been many couples that have had what could have fell into the category of sacred sexuality. Shiva and Shakti, Isis and Osiris, Freya and Odin, and Christ and Mary Magdalene. Almost every group and belief system has a key couple that fits into this role. The roots of these practices are probably most commonly known through Indian and Asian cultures. However, was it really all about sex and the flesh? The art of sacred sexuality and ecstatic bliss in its traditional role really found its art in finding true and deep connection from a space of infinite love. The original roots seem to be founded in something so much deeper and lasting than a mere orgasm. And many were not even focused on such an end result. In most of these practices, it was about seeing the divine within one's partner. In helping to raise their energy to a pure and divine space where through gazing and other techniques, they would simultaneously reach a strong and transcendental connection with spirit or God. The techniques of sacred sexuality in Tantra take compassion to a very personal level. It is having such a strong level of connecting with someone in a way that is profound and learning to let go of all judgment of the physical appearance and facilitating the release of emotional and mental blockages in your loved one so that you can see and experience their true and divine presence within them. I'm going to take a short break here, and when we return, I'm going to have Rob and Janelle Alex on to help us understand more about sacred sexuality or sacred sensuality and how to obtain sexual ecstasy in our relationships. And the song that I've got for you tonight is called Angel of the Dawn. It is another song by Shemshai. And as some of you have heard me talk before, they are a group that I met while studying Tantra in the Sedona, Arizona area. And they are now traveling all over the world, so with their music. And let's go ahead and take a listen to this. And when we come back, we'll be with Rob and Janelle Alex.
She walks on the light, angel of the dawn. She rises toward the one. Give me sight. When all I'd ever wanted was to see beyond the veils of my own illusion, and I would give you everything. I would lay it all down just to hear your crystal voice calling me home. Oh, just to hear your crystal voice calling me home. Becoming clearer, left and right, towards the one. In love with his love divine, you show me everything and everything I ever wanted to find. If I could take you anywhere, I would bring. Oh,
Well, welcome back. You are listening to Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour, and my name is Jessie Ann Nichols George, and I am your hostess this evening. You were just listening to Angel of the Dawn by Shem Shai, and I just want to say thanks so much for those of you that are just joining us. Tonight we have Rob and Janelle Alex as my guests, and they are the creators of Sexy Challenges. Rob is certified in Reiki, has a Master of Science in Metaphysics, and is working on a PhD. Janelle has a Master of Arts in Transpersonal Psychology. She has a PhD in Transpersonal Counseling, and research during her graduate studies is what led her to discover transcendental sex and the concepts and learning how to put that into her life. Tonight we're going to be discussing sacred sexuality and obtaining sexual ecstasy. And if you'd like to learn more about the work that Rob and Janelle are doing, you can check their website out at sexychallenges.com. They've got some very interesting things and some great options for those people that want to sign up for their mailing list. So I'm going to go ahead and open up their mic, and I do see that we have callers popping in, so I'm going to ask those callers to be a little bit patient with us while we get starting, and if at any time you have a question while you're there in the caller queue, you can always press 1, and that will bring you onto the line. So it looks like I've got Rob and Janelle. Your mic should be live there. Welcome to Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. Hello? Let me give this a try here. Let's give it just a minute and bring them back on. Rob and Janelle, can you hear us?
Yes, we're excited to be here.
Yes, we are.
Yay! Well, I really appreciate you giving your time to us, and I'm excited about having you on tonight. And I want to say, if anybody has any questions, again, you can call in on our switchboard, which is 760-542-4345, and I'm also going to be watching the chat as best I can and paying attention. So if you have a question there, you can type it into the main chat screen, or you can ask me directly either way, and then I can share it from there. Let's start off by the two of you sharing your stories, because you have some kind of great stories, and you both kind of had your own path of coming together and coming into this work.
Yeah, well, we usually kind of start off with me. I've always been very deeply connected spiritually, my whole life. So as I moved forward in, Rob and I had actually been married, I don't know. He's laughing at me, but you know, at what point, when I started grad school, we'd been married probably almost 8 years by then, 7.5, something like that. And when I, because I had the psychology background, but I wanted more to that. I knew that my spiritual experiences didn't mesh necessarily with scientific evidence. So I was able to locate a graduate school that focused on spiritual psychology and transpersonal psychology, which transpersonal is just basically beyond ourselves, beyond the human experience. So anyway, so early on in that study, I came across an article on transcendental sexual experiences. And I instantly knew I wanted to pass that article to Rob because he's Mr. Skeptical. Well, he's Mr. Frisky, but he's Mr. Skeptical. All the things I've always experienced, he was like, okay, that's great, honey. You know, he was never negative about it, but just didn't really accept it or wasn't open to, you know, spiritual guides or prophetic dreams or any of the stuff that I've experienced. So anyways, I passed the article to him.
Well, yeah, and like Janelle said, I was very skeptical. I was the doubting Thomas, as you would call it. had to prove stuff to me. I had to see it, be able to hold it in my hand. She gave me this article, and obviously, as she mentioned, I very much enjoyed sex. And so I thought, I read through the article, and it was very interesting about how people would have either out-of-body experiences or just experiences that were out of the norm during their lovemaking. Something hit me, and it was just like, am I not paying enough attention when we're making love? Not that I wasn't enjoying it or anything, but I was like, am I just not being there enough? So I set my intention that I was going to be present during our lovemaking, which sounds really weird, but that's what it was.
Well,
I was going
to
be present.
Open to a different possibility.
Right. And so we made love that first time, and this image just flashed into my head, and it was an image of trees, like I was laying in a forest looking up the trees, just the sky and the trees. Wasn't anywhere near the fireworks and excitement that I thought I was going to see at this time, but it was still, it was obviously something different than I had ever witnessed before at that time. And these visions started coming every time we made love.
Yeah, because he experiences those at the point of orgasm for him.
Yes. And so I didn't, I saw that first one and I was like, oh, that was nice. I mean, it was interesting. Like I said, it wasn't the fireworks I thought. So I just kind of put it on the shelf and thought, okay, I don't know what that meant, but let's just go forward with this. And at that point, Janelle was out. She had to venture to California to do a seminar in her school, and we decided that I would join her out there and for a couple of days.
It was maybe at the most 6 weeks after Rob had his first vision, or received it, whatever.
And I wanted to take her on a whale watching tour, which she has been dying to go on her entire life. And so I made plans to do that. And when I got out there, she said, not going to do that.
But it wasn't like that. It was that inner knowing. I always do, it's one of the things I teach, too, is to check in with your body and to really, use that, if you want to put it in really layman terms, your gut instinct. But my body was just telling me, there was this inner knowing that we were not supposed to go to see the whales, no matter how much they mean to me. And I just knew something was telling me that I was supposed to take Rob to the state forest and to see the redwood trees.
We arrive at the forest, we get out, and it's beautiful there. And we walk out, we're not there more than 5 minutes, and I look up, and I realize I'm witnessing that same image that I saw at that point of orgasm when we were making love. And I was just overcome with emotion. I'm a sensitive guy, but I'm not one to just start bawling, and I couldn't stop myself. It was these happy tears that were just streaming out of my eyes. It felt like I was, for lack of better terms, just head open, and all my emotions were just flowing out at one time. It was the most wonderful, I shouldn't say the most, because the birth of our children was obviously one, and being in love with Janelle are great and fabulous things that ranked right, or even with this, but this feeling was just something that was so powerful, and it was at that moment that I knew that these sexy challenges were going to evolve, and that it was my my reason for being here to spread this message.
And I honestly consider that his spiritual awakening, because he's drastically grown and changed, and just really, he's not skeptical anymore because of the synchronicities. And that is the first time that he saw one of his visions in what I call waking reality in day-to-day life. But it's been over 2.5 years now, and he gets a vision every, at least one vision. Now it's actually picked up and starting to get multiple visions each time. But he gets one every time we're together. And the vast amount of those, the huge percentage of those that he has seen or sees, is mind-boggling.
Right.
Wow. So this has been a huge journey, and I think this is great, Rob, too, where you're sharing this, because I think there's a lot of men out there, and you know, they probably would be like, hey, yeah, this is great. My wife comes in and gives me this article, and then, you know, they have this sensitivity in them. And I always feel like in a lot of ways men are more sensitive and more emotional than women. They just don't always wear it on their sleeve. And so when they feel those feelings, in some ways I think it is more powerful because it's foreign ground. Their senses are much more alert or sensitive to what's happening.
Yeah, for me it was like, you know, my whole life I was taught, you know, men are supposed to be strong and we're supposed to be, you know, we're not supposed to show our emotions and everything. And at this point, I couldn't help it. And I knew at that point that it was, this was natural. This was the feeling, I was enjoying this feeling.
That's awesome. I would love for the two of you to provide some insight about what sacred sexuality is, because I feel like people have a lot of different kinds of ideas about this, sacred sexuality, transcendental sex terms, tantra. These are a lot of terms that are getting thrown around, but maybe you can shed some light from your perspective and your experiences.
I think because there are so many different definitions, so it really kind of depends on who you talk to. One of the biggest things that Rob and I share constantly with everybody is that we just refuse to get kind of trapped in the boundaries of that it's this way or that way, no matter what it is. So what we teach and what we share about is metaphysical perspectives, and there's Buddhist perspectives, because I'm drawn to Buddhism. That's not my whole focus, but I am drawn to it. Obviously, part of what we teach does have tantra in with it. And then, yes, there is this sense a lot of people consider that sacred sexuality is different yet somehow from all of the above. What I would say, to try to put it in probably my most simple terms, I guess, is that it's really about an honoring of the relationship. Well, mind you, obviously, we're talking about committed relationship. And we're talking about love being involved, which that's what Rob and I promote and advocate. We're not saying the other's wrong. It's just not what, you know, our big focus is about being a couple. So it's about honoring the relationship, and then it's about honoring each your own body, your partner's body, your pleasure, and honoring the divine within all of that, whatever the divine is to you. Because, again, we just won't say that it's this way or the highway.
Right. Yeah, think about what Danelle was saying. The way I like to explain it is we like to take bits and pieces of all these traditions and all these past sacred experiences and put them together to blend and make our own sacred sexual experience. And I think that's one thing that people don't understand is that you don't have to follow this path. With certain paths, like Janelle was saying, that we don't want to get stuck in one section there, but we want to find things. Like there's some parts of Tantra that we don't agree with, but there, you know, we like the breath work that we can get, you know, that comes from that. And so we take that and we blend it into maybe some Taoist traditions or maybe something from the Polynesian Huna, and put these things together and form our own. And that's what we try to lead people to do is to create their own sacred sexuality rituals or whatever you want to call them, so that, you know, it's uniquely theirs.
Well, and it's what resonates. That's mm-hmm. the big thing. It's if something clicks with you and you guys are like, this feels right to us, then, you know, that's just sacred right there. That's sacred. So.
And I think that's such a good point because, you know, it's kind of almost like in some ways doing feng shui in your house. You know, you can be told that certain colors are going to work in a room, but you've got to decide, for example, whether those colors are going to be lighter colors or darker colors, or whether you're going to go with more of a blue or more of a green. And it's about personal taste to a certain extent. And when we talk about relationships and touch and sacred sexuality, and we put it in that perspective, not everybody likes that same level of touch. Some people like a very gentle touch. Some people like a much firmer touch. There's all different aspects and ways, I think, to approach it. And I use that integrated approach myself in the work I do as well. And I think that that's a valuable part. And I love that you're encouraging people, you know, take these different pieces, take what works for you and do it. And I know that, for example, Tantra and a lot of these different branches have so much variety in them. I mean, you've got people in Tantra, for example, that are very loyal and it's just about their partner. And then you have other people that are in polygamy groups, basically. They're doing polyamorous play or things like that. So there's a huge variety even within these groups.
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt about that. And for that matter, we were raised, but we come from a very small town in the Midwest. And it was a very conservative, very devout Christian community. And so what we teach doesn't technically fit for the most part. It was, for the most part, not completely, but I mean, there's a lot that it's like, what? Especially if we say, when we say, you know, whatever the divine means to you. Because in that mentality that we were raised in, it is one path. And if that's just the only option. But even within Christianity, there is sacred sexuality. So, you know, so it really doesn't matter where you are, because that's a big thing that for us, we try to meet our clients and people that we speak to or in front of. While when you're speaking in front of people, we don't necessarily know where you are. You know, where you are emotionally and where you are spiritually, we try to meet you at that place is the best that, you know, then the best that we can.
Right. And as we're going through this, and as Janelle mentioned, we work, our focus is usually mainly couples because that's what we know and that's what we're comfortable with. And the beautiful part is this is, you know, you always hear how it gets stale and it's not exciting anymore. Well, this really opens you, this sacred sexuality that we're teaching really opens you up, because as you learn more and you add more things into your relationship and into your intimacy, it continues to evolve. And so you don't get that stagnant, stale of pigeonhole that everybody seems to fall in if they don't, you know, keep learning and keep thriving.
Well, and it not only deepens in your connection on an emotional level with your lover, but it deepens your physical connection, and then it deepens your spiritual connection to your partner. So it's just, what it did for us was phenomenal. It changed us individually, but it changed our whole relationship as well. So it's been amazing.
Mm-hmm. And you bring up some great points with that, because I think this is a concern that a lot of people have, is the relationship gets stale and then they start looking for affairs or other things instead of turning inward and going, okay, this is just another challenge that we need to come past in our relationship. And in doing that, I found that you can keep growing and keeping a relationship alive. And Rob, you mentioned something earlier about all of a sudden you were becoming present in lovemaking. And I think that's where the staleness comes, is that people get task-focused in sex as opposed to stopping and fully putting their attention in the moment and taking it as an experience and receiving the experience. Giving and receiving that experience instead of just like, okay, it's a task, I've got a need that's got to be met, great, destination complete. You know.
I think another thing to add to what makes it sacred sexuality or sacred sex is that it's not soul-oriented, that it's not the goal of the climax. It's about the honoring of the partner and the experience, like you just said.
Right, and you know, there is so much enjoyment of giving pleasure, like you mentioned earlier there. I get a lot of the enjoyment out of our sexual activity through the giving of pleasure to Janelle. And that's something that a lot of people don't understand. You know, like you said, when you're goal-oriented, you're thinking about your pleasure and what's going to take to get you there, or you're, you know, waiting for that big moment from your partner so it can be done. And this has changed, you know. I like to say lovemaking starts when you get up in the morning, and it doesn't end until, you know, you go to bed at night. So it's not just when you roll between the sheets and take your clothes off. It's all that combined, and that's what makes it beautiful.
And it is an amazing experience, not only using these areas as a means for foreplay, but just not even going to sex sometimes. I think just taking that spiritual honoring process, and it does really open you up. It opens up your energy centers. It really connects you with the divine presence. You can feel that in yourself and tune into it, as well as tune in with other people. I've got a question coming in from the chat room here from Kevin Barrett, who's one of our other hosts on our network here. And Kevin is wondering, is it okay to have short relationships, for example, for a month or a year, and using these techniques with it?
Yeah, absolutely. If that's, you know, well, first of all, have the experience. I don't care if you have the experience one time in your whole life. It's so freaking phenomenal that I just would wish for everybody to have that kind of experience at least once. But beyond that, if you are, for whatever reason, in a short-term relationship, so be it. You know, there's the whole, you know, that, and I know there's some little saying, and I can't remember where it comes from right now, but, you know, that where some people come into our lives to teach us those lessons, and they may only be here for a few weeks or a month, or it may be those people that come in our lives that are there forever, whether it's friends or your lover. So I believe that there is always a lesson to be learned, an experience to be gained from any relationship, any encounters that we have, whether they're short-term or long-term.
Right. I think Janelle hit that right on the head. It's just, you know, again, it goes back to what works for you. If you're not comfortable in that relationship, but you've had a great time for a month, maybe it's time for it again. You know, that has to be your decision and yours alone.
Yeah, I mean, it's, there are so many extenuating circumstances to, you know, figure out those pieces. And for that matter, I mean, Rob and I, this is our second marriage for both of us. We were both married previously. So, I mean, we understand what, you know, how relationships don't always last. No matter how hard you try to make them work, they're not, sometimes not going to work out for whatever reason. And that's just part of it. So, you know, unfortunately, I do think there are too many people that very quickly will kind of drop the ball and stop playing the game, if you will. They're like, I'm done. This is not working. Instead of trying to really uncover themselves within that relationship, because the relationship itself is actually a spiritual path, a spiritual journey. And you really do get all of your own idiosyncrasies and all of your own dark shadows reflected back to you within a really close, intimate relationship. Now, I want to clarify, that's not to say that everything, maybe if your partner, if I went through some really nasty stuff and some of that stuff that was tossed out towards me didn't necessarily come from me. It's not necessarily a reflection, so especially if there's some sort of abuse or something like that. I don't want people to misconstrue what I'm saying there. But
well, and I think it is, we do reflect each other in relationships, and they very much, in my opinion, are a spiritual process that we're going through in life. And I think the thing that I like about these techniques is this is a great avenue to explore instead of sex in some ways, where you can take this without going to that sexual area while you're still getting to know somebody, while you're solidifying that relationship and moving into that monogamous space, as well as for people that are older, whose bodies are starting to wear down a little bit and some things become more difficult for them, this is still a great way for them to, I think, experience that energy and that connection with each other without having to put that extra strain on their body if they can't do it. Or for people that, for example, they've got a broken leg or they've had an injury or something like that, and this is a great way to keep connecting, I think, with your partner.
Because I taught dance for 20 years, so I have a pretty nasty hip injury from dance, and there are times that can be a hindrance for lovemaking. Because it just, that hip just causes a lot of pain and doesn't go and it's not flexible and so forth. So, that's something to trust in your relationship, to work around. And as far, as men, as they age, and sometimes, it's certainly not going to rise to the occasion like it did when they were in their 20s or even 30s. So those are things, again, that, it doesn't have to be like it was when you were 20
right.
or 30, because it's not the same. You're not the same anymore. You've evolved emotionally and grown and had tons of different experiences, and those things. And I think Kevin made a note on the chat because we have it open too.
But you saw that in there about. If you're over 40 and still single.
and how some of those, relationships.
I'm going to finish that point right there. I'm sorry, Janelle. I'm going to finish that point because people that are listening that can't see the chat, I want them to know where we're going or what the question was. And he mentioned if you are over 40 and still single, is it likely that being single could be programming, and with some relationships that come and go, and he says each feels like a lifetime experience.
Yeah, and I think, for example, if I reflect back to my first marriage, of course, I got married at 19 the first time, but I was married for 10 years. And when I look back at that, it seems like it was a lifetime ago. So that kind of resonated. It was a lifetime of experience in of itself. And I think we all have programming. I'm kind of shifting gears, but we all have programming. Like I said, Rob and I were raised in a very conservative, I affectionately call it a hillbilly town, redneck maybe. a very small town, and I don't want to say small-minded because that's not nice to the folks that live there, but it is, and in that sense, it is very, it's not expansive. There's, how do I put that nicely? Because I don't want to be mean. There's people I love there, yeah. But the mentality was more closed-minded for the most part. And so there's programming that it does take, you have to learn to step a little bit outside your comfort zone. Figure out what your comfort zone is, where the boundaries for your pleasure, whether it's physical or emotional pleasure, are. And being able to recognize those and then to be able to step even just a tiny, even if it's just your toe, if you will, that moves outside of that, comfort zone. Because then, guess what? Your comfort zone has gotten a little bit bigger. And then you just keep moving forwards a little bit at a time.
And that's such a good point, too, because it's one of the things I teach a lot is take those baby steps, break it down into small pieces. And I actually was dealing with a client just a few days ago who had issues with being touched that didn't come up until after she had gotten into her marriage. And I pinpointed some different abuse things and different fear things that were going on and past life issues and things like that. And when it came down to it, here she has this person in her life that she totally loves, and yet she's just scared of this touch. She's just almost repulsed by it because of all this programming stuff that she's dealt with. And so I had her just start, just start with little steps, like take his hand and put his hand on you. Where you want. Maybe it's a cheek, maybe it's the back of your head, maybe it's the shoulder. Those little steps to get you comfortable, and then you can move, and then, that way she would have control over that touch and get more used to it. So you don't have to just necessarily just jump all in there at once.
Right.
Right. And with our sexy challenges that we write and produce, they are all designed with that frame of mind intact in those that, you know, some people aren't as comfortable with some of these things as others. So there's options of, you know, how to move into it slower or maybe a different option that's not as aggressive as another one. So that it allows for people that are uncomfortable with something like that to experience these and to be able to put them into their lives also.
And not even just the physical perspective, but to be able to step slowly and where again, where they are emotionally, spiritually, to step into that place.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, everybody is having a different experience. We all have our own individual experiences, and then when we are with a partner and we're in relationship, then that entity in itself, that relationship, has its own experience.
Right.
So, again, it's where you are, whether it's the physical, the emotional, or the spiritual. And I want to say, too, Jesse, that I was 23, I believe, so that was awfully long time ago, about 19 years ago, and wow, I feel old now. It's 19 years ago. Anyway, but I had, because like I said a few moments ago, I used to teach dance and gymnastics, and so I still had a gymnastics coach. And unfortunately, I experienced a sexual assault by him. So, and here I was, you know, a young adult, and I, at the time I was married, but it really messed me up. And I, even by the time many, many years later when Rob and I got married, yeah, there were times that things would trigger something, you know, and the way that he would touch me would trigger something from the past. And I finally moved past all of that, and it really, it's highly unlikely now that that stuff shows up. But it, the thing of it is, I know that it can, and a lot of times people don't know that. You know, they don't even know, like you were talking about, what might be those underlying causes. And, yeah, and it can be stuff that's not necessarily from this life, but our past life experiences that we really may be unaware of.
And I want to address one more comment by Kevin in our chat, and then I would like to move into, you mentioned to me in an email that you have an exercise called the Energy Ball Reserve, and that you could do that here on the air. Kevin was mentioning here that want could be a wall, and I think absolutely it can be, because it's just like wanting somebody or wanting something in our life. That want can sometimes motivate us, but it can also create a stress and a tension that kind of locks us up and prevents us from getting there a lot of times. So I did want to kind of address that there. And then he's also got a comment here. Do some people compensate with the absence of sex by replacing it with eating?
Yeah, I mean, and you know, it might be eating, it might be television,
right.
It might be drinking, it might be, you know, even just excessive joking, you know, being the jokester where you fly, you know, those defense mechanisms kick in all over the place. So, yeah, and, you know, in regards to the want, Rob and I just spoke at an event this past weekend, a live event here in Denver, and the main speaker, we were at her event speaking as guest speakers, but she was talking about the difference between want and desire. And the way she was, you know, her interpretation of it was want was a very needy feeling. And, you know, I want this. I want it so bad. And so it in that sense, it kind of even pushes away another person. Whereas if you desire something, you know, you can more feel it and imagine it and kind of visualize it. And it's a softer feeling, and then it actually magnetizes another person towards you.
Right.
So it's just a different way of looking at it. But since that came up, I thought I'd share that.
And I think that's a good point, too, because that want is I have to have this, and I will stop at nothing to get it, versus the desire, as in, this would be amazing to have, and what an incredible experience that would be. It's a very different mindset that we're coming at it, and the universe responds very differently, or God responds very differently to us as a result of that mindset. So let's have you, if you don't mind, go into the Energy Ball Reserve, I believe, exercise or meditation or something that you had to share?
Yes. We just recently did this at the live event Janelle was talking about. And what we did was we took a ball, would be any kind of ball, and we started in the back of the room and had the participants pass it around. And what they did was when they got it, they would hold it, and then they would think of their best sexual experience ever. And they would put that energy into the ball. I would tell them to visualize actually letting that energy go into that ball. And we did this to everybody in the room, and then they brought the ball up to me. And what I did with it is, and this kind of sounds strange, but I collect those, and we put them on our shelf because this is the sexual energy that we create is a powerful force. And to have that contained in the ball like that is amazing. Now, that's my own personal experience with us collecting those balls and using those at the events that we speak at. But you can also do this individually, whether you're in a relationship or not. A lot of people that want to attract a relationship, there's times where they feel sexy and they feel passionate, and they might not have a partner to share it with at that time. And they might want to use this energy to attract a partner. So they can get an object, such as a ball or anything else, and they can put that energy into that ball and then set it on their shelf. You know, and then every time they feel this, like they're wanting and desiring that romantic feeling that a partnership would bring to them, and they can put that energy in that ball, and then they can use that energy in that ball with the intention of attracting a partner. And the more and more energy they put into this ball, the more and more that's going to send out to the universe looking for that partner for them. We can also use it in a couple situation where you do the same thing, but you set the intention different. You know, obviously you're not going to want to get another partner unless that's, you know, you're in a polyamorous relationship. But you can use it to maybe attract a new job for one of you or to bring some financial abundance towards you. One of the things that we really teach people is that this sexual energy that we have and that I feel like we create it. Janelle and I have different views on that, but that we create can bring us wonderful things. And, you know, we are even building whole programs around that.
Right.
Fact right there.
Well, and the energizing of an object, whether it be like the size of a stress ball or it's a stone or Rob and I both have a small, very small crystal skull. There's so many different things. And so anyways, in one of the intimate adventures, which are very similar to the sexy challenges, but we do write intimate adventures as well. And in one of those, I have that in the ceremony so that the couple energizes a particular object. And then if they're going to be apart, maybe someone has to travel for whatever reason, then that traveling partner can take that object with him or her. And then they can, you know, absorb that energy and carry that energy, love energy, sexual energy with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I have found in my own experiences that this kind of energy, when we're doing it, it's so active and it's so loving, and it's not that perverted sexual energy, for lack of better terminology. But as you say, you know, if your partner is infusing that love and amazing feeling of being with you into something, and you can pull that out, and it does, it energizes. And a lot of people have blocks in their lower two chakras of their body for things that not only affect them in relationships and sexual experiences, but that lower two chakras also can tremendously affect, as you say, other areas of life, success, work, money, happiness, different areas. And it's just that energy itself, which is actually a pretty pure energy, that just has this charge. It just has this charge, and it fills us with that ability to be at peace is what it does.
Yeah, absolutely. it's so powerful, and so few people recognize that.
Right.
Not only is it powerful when those chakras are open and healthy and that energy can flow smoothly, but it's very powerful when it's blocked because things can't come through and can't flow. And so, yeah, that's a very important piece to become aware of.
So I could definitely see that, like especially if you did have a blocked chakra, to hold that energy ball reserve would be a great way to just kind of help open some of that up too.
Mm-hmm. Right, and you can, I mean, when we passed this around at the last event we were at, when we finally got it back up to the stage, I mean, it's hard to describe it. It was hot. I mean, this ball was hot. You could feel it. I mean, there was a lot of sexual energy in the room, and it, you know, you could feel it in the ball. And you know, I'm going to be selfish with it. I'm going to absorb that, and you know, use that in everything that I do.
Well, and another thing that I was—it's so interesting. You know, how things when they get passed from, you know, from row to row, sometimes they don't get passed everybody. And at this particular event, there was probably three different times where somebody thought that they were the last one, so they started bringing it back up to the stage to us. And, I mean, they were, I mean, not even close to getting to us. And somebody's like, no, wait, I did not get that yet. Everybody wanted to make sure that they had their chance to hold it and, you know, share their energy with it. And then we did have a gentleman that asked, too. He's like, well, well, if I need some sexual energy, can I take some from it?
Yes.
So it was just a really, it's always so cool to see how people react to that and how excited they are to be able to touch that and to hold that physically even themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And before I jump in there to, I guess since we're on the topic, Kevin's got a question of, how would one unblock that chakra? And I know there's a lot of different ways you can approach it, from meditation to visualization to a lot of times we need to do some inner reflective work and figure out where is that block coming from. What is our – it's just like asking what our resistance is to receiving money, understanding where that block is. Have we been hurt at some point? Did we – experience a lot of yelling growing up in the family life, or when we started relationships, did they, were we hurt by putting ourselves out there? And I think that happens a lot. You have young teenage love or romance or whatever, infatuation, puppy love that comes in, and we get hurt by that first person that we fall in love with. And that can shut down our chakras. So realizing and kind of maybe doing some of that inner reflective work, I think, can be really good to just kind of identify it and release it and say, okay, I'm ready to be open. I'm ready to receive this energy.
And there's, you know, there are different energy exercises that, you know, we know how to do. And it's phenomenal what happens when you can kind of clean out those chakras and then refill them with this amazing golden light of energy, if you will, or energetic light. But another thing that another method that, and I so agree, there's so many different things. You have to incorporate a lot. You know, one thing isn't necessarily just going to magically fix it, but is central movement. And of course, with my dance background, that is something that I incorporate into helping people do that. And it's getting just getting the whole body moving, because it connects you with those lower chakras. It helps ground you, especially for women, because we so often get really, we lose touch with those lower chakras. And we get really wrapped up in, you know, in our heads and just all the heart and, compassion and nurturing of other people. And so we can so easily lose touch with our bodies. And so, you know, getting back into that movement can help those chakras open up and help that energy flow a little bit better through there. So it's just another method.
Great. And Now, how can couples, maybe particularly somebody who's not ready to go into sex yet or something, or they're trying to build this energy in sharing with each other, how can they keep things from getting too sexual? For example, to keep them from getting distracted towards just focusing on the orgasm and staying in that moment. Do you have some keys for that?
I think the big thing is to be really present with every sensation, becoming aware. This gets into mindfulness, and where you really are feeling every touch, every, pay attention to all the senses, the main five, obviously, and then, of course, I think it's highly important to pay attention to our sixth sense. Some people believe there's more than six, but the first five, hearing, so listening to your partner's sounds, whether it's his or her breathing. We could get into a discussion about laughter, because Rob and I are very adamant that laughter is also a deep connection to the divine. Even just hearing your partner's voice, just hearing them talk, or if you are moving, maybe you're giving a sensual massage, and so maybe there's some, little moaning, oh, that feels good, and it doesn't have to become sexual. Then, there's taste, and again, there's just so many. I could just go on forever on that.
I think one of the big things is to take it slow. I mean, you don't have to rush. I think so much mm-hmm. of our, everything that we've been taught, and a lot of this comes from religion, is that sex has to get over fast, and, whether it's the fear of getting caught, or that it's, you're enjoying in something that you're not supposed to be, what have you. But it's getting it over fast, and that's not the way it should be. It should be slow and enjoyed and passionate. And another aspect of that, if you don't want to move it into the sexual, is focus on the friendship that you can create mm-hmm. as a couple. I know one of the wonderful things that this has all created between me and Janelle is this wonderful friendship. I mean, we can sit up and talk for hours, and just have a great conversation, and it gets so deep and passionate. And like she said, we love to bring laughter into our lives, and so we can sit and watch a movie and laugh, and it's an orgasmic experience too.
And I tell you, last night we laughed till I think I almost cried. We had just watched, a short YouTube clip of a comedian that we like, and it was a 10-minute clip or something, but then we have a habit of quoting all kinds of funny movies and different things. And so we're quoting these things back and forth, and it was just hilarious. And we're laying in bed just cracking up. And sometimes that can lead to a different kind of play, but it doesn't have to. But it deepens that spiritual connection and the emotional connection. It just deepens the whole thing.
Yeah.
I agree, and I think you actually touched on several things that hit one of Kevin's other questions of clearing. Meditation helps with clearing in the personal moment, but what about when it comes to the hands-on thing? And I think you touched on that. It's about taking your time. It's about sharing that laughter. I think, too, tuning into, as you say, the senses. Sometimes just having somebody, one person close their eyes while the other person's doing the touch, and you can focus much more in on that touch, and it will help to open things because your mind's not running in as many directions, I think, with that. Now, you also had and I want to make sure we're kind of leaving enough time, because my time always runs out faster than I think it's going to here. You have an exercise that's a soul merging visualization.
Uh-huh.
How do you feel about this?
I would love to share that. And this would work for couples, or this is going to would also work if you're not in a relationship. So, just it's a matter of closing your eyes and then visualizing your soul whatever that might be for you, whether you visualize it as in human form, but perhaps, you know, not as solid, or maybe you visualize your soul as a ball of light, or it might even be that you visualize your soul as maybe your aura or a smoky cloud even. It's whatever it is that makes sense to you. And so you visualize that and then hold that vision and just kind of let that pervade you and just, you know, just step with that for a moment. And, you know, you can also, it might, because some people have a little hard time visualizing, so it might be a matter of feeling, or maybe you just feel a really deep warmth, or you might feel even like a buzzing of your being, or just that zing of energy. Then visualize your lover's soul in that same way. And if you are in relationship, then obviously you're going to visualize your lover. If you're wanting a relationship or desiring a relationship, then to visualize what you believe your, you know, your potential new lover's soul would be like. So you're, again, it's the same thing. It's kind of visualizing however that comes to you, and just allow it. There's no right or wrong, but allowing it to just show up, whether you can see it in your mind's eye or if it's a sensation. For some people, it could even be a sound. So allowing that to come. Then imagine these two visualized souls, yours and your lover's, moving towards each other. And depending on how you have visualized your souls, begin to imagine them just starting to touch. If it's a human-type form, maybe it's your hands reaching out and the fingers first touching, and then the whole hand starting to touch. And you continue merging more and more together until you're one. And so you're completely, you know, melded together. And you just allow that, again, to just kind of be in that and just accept what feeling comes to you at that time, and just, again, sit with that for a little bit until you're ready to begin to pull back apart and separate and come back into your individual self, your individual soul. And as you do come apart into your individual self again, then pay attention and be aware and feel that love that you shared with your lover's soul, and that love energy that you melded together, and the sexual energy that you were able to blend together. And some of that is going to still come with you and reside within you now, as well as some of yours is going to reside within your lover. And, you know, and just let that be with you. And then when you feel ready, you would open your eyes again. And it's just a really beautiful, it's a beautiful exercise to do.
Yeah, that definitely is. And I think the thing for people to get it used to is that it's not about having to visualize a certain look. It's more of a feel of energy there.
Right.
When you're visualizing, be it your partner or a potential partner to come to you. And I think this is very powerful, because when we open up and we're coming from our heart and we're tuning into that soul energy that's within us, it makes it much easier to draw in that soul level connection or somebody else who is ready to be open and entering into our life. So I think that that's a very valuable thing. So thank you so much for that.
It's such a cool experience when you know how to do chakra work, or if you have someone that can help guide you through the chakras and, you know, really heighten the energy and spin those chakras a bit faster, and then do this particular exercise, actually it can become orgasmic. So it's really an amazing, it can take it to the next level, to be a little bit more advanced.
And And I'll throw in there, one of our chat people, Veronica, has mentioned in here that that can be so powerful. And we actually had, last week we had Penny Cohen on. I had Penny Cohen on as a guest, and she did an amazing visualization at the end. And I could only imagine if somebody started with her visualization, which really opened up the energy centers all throughout the body, and then moved into this one that you were just talking about with the soul merging, that would be extremely powerful in there. Because she brought the energy all through the body and everything in that process.
I can easily get my whole being just when I work off. But just zinging. I don't even know how to describe it in human language. It's such a beyond the human experience sensation. And it can, Alex said, it can absolutely be orgasmic. And then to blend that with your partners or your potential partners, it's just, it's wild.
And absolutely, and there's so many variations of that can be done if you're doing that with your partner, where you can have hands together or things like that and close that circle of energy so it's flowing circular through both of you. Very, very powerful options. Now, how do these techniques make a difference on a relationship's ability to last?
Well, I think right there, you're opening yourself, you're being vulnerable to your partner, allowing them to come in and see you at your weakest point, and you're seeing them at their weakest point. And I think right there alone gives you a sense of pride in each other. And I believe, it's my feeling, that strengthens the bond when you can let all your defenses down and you can just be who you are, no mask, be as vulnerable as possible as you can with your partner, that you're going to form a stronger connection, a stronger bond, and make your relationship stronger.
Well, and obviously, it's one of those vicious circles, because there has to be a lot of trust to get to that place to begin with, but yet at the same time, it builds trust in your relationship. And the more trust that you have in each other, the better chance you have to last. And then you have these experiences that are just between the two of you.
Right.
And that separates you from everybody else. During the time, whether you're together 5 years or 50 years or 5 months, it just changes. It also even gives you those opportunities, where you guys are giggling over something and everybody's looking at you like, what? And you're like, oh, it's an inside joke or it's an inside thing. And that is a very
right.
powerful piece in itself. And that is sacred as well.
Yeah, that's fun.
And I would think, I kind of had this vision popping into my head, too, that it's kind of the difference between you get on the road and you drive cross country and you just drive straight for 3 or 4 days, day and night, and you never stop.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't really see much.
Right.
And when you're driving in the middle of the night, you don't really see anything. You're just driving. But when you stop and you take a couple of weeks to go cross country and you stop at some national parks and you get out and you see different scenery and do something in the different areas, it's the same sort of thing. You're building these memories and you're building this connection and you've changed it again from process to experience. And I think... But that difference is getting out of that performance mode, because when we're in performance mode, our ego is going to be tied to it. And when our ego is tied to it, we're prone to get hurt or judged or feel inadequate. And when we feel inadequate, then it creates a separation. Whereas I think, too, with these techniques is that you're removing that performance. You're removing a specific required outcome, per se. It's just about flowing with the moment.
Right.
Well, and that makes me think, because I use the analogy, which is very similar to your driving across the country analogy, but when you're wanting to climb this mountain, of course, we live in the Rockies, but when you're wanting to climb this mountain, especially when you're newer at it, you're not going to, you know, go try to climb Pikes Peak or some other massive mountain somewhere else. So, you know, you start out small, and it takes you, you know, you're not going to make it in one quick trip. You know, you might need to camp overnight. And the thing of it is, you need to stop and enjoy the beauty and the scenery along the way, all of it, not just those beautiful overlooks, but, you know, the leaves falling or the animals moving, or, you know, what any of those experiences, or that your legs are cramping up, you know, take that in, too, and because it's all experience.
Right.
And it's all for us to have and to move through.
Well, it makes it sensual. It makes it mm-hmm. sensual that, as you were talking about the drive, if you just drive and get there as fast as you can, just like in with sex, you know, if you just go as fast as you can and get to your end result, yeah, it was okay and you got there, but you missed so much. You miss that sensual part. You miss seeing things. You miss the touch. You miss the smells. You miss the sounds of all of it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of power and a lot of sensual power in taking your time and enjoying it.
And I think another thing that's coming to me is that, you know, we have these high expectations of that end result. Oh, I want to go to Disney World. And you rush down there, and it might not be quite the way you thought it was going to be. But if you would have enjoyed the trip getting there, it just makes it even more pleasurable when you do get there. I hope that made sense.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's a well-put point there with it. So definitely. And Rob mentioned that sensuality factor. And I feel that sensuality factor is where you start to really combine that body, mind, spirit. I actually addressed this in a blog post and in some LinkedIn posts this week of really looking at the question of, is intimacy body, mind, or spirit? And I did that deliberately to see where people would go with it. But it's an interrelationship. Each piece is there, but it's also each piece interrelated. And when we step into that sensuality space, it's like they're coming together. You're reaching that vulnerability. You're reaching that emotional space. And that's such a more powerful, more fulfilling space that also helps us to maintain, I think, that sense of being in love as well as loving.
Right. Mm-hmm. I like to add a little bit, if you don't mind. When we talk about body, mind, and spirit, I always talk about the four main aspects of self, which are physical, mental, and then our emotional and our spiritual. So the body becomes those other two pieces as well. It kind of breaks down between the mental as well as the physical experience. And it's all integrated. And it's all essential experience. And it all plays a part in our sexuality and what we are open to experiencing, what we are capable of experiencing. It all plays a part in that.
And I think that is true. It's kind of like opening all your senses when you allow yourself to experience on all those different levels. It's
right.
Just magnifying it, and it's like the energy just builds and it magnifies more than each piece individually does, and even more so than them combined. It's like 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 doesn't necessarily equal 3 or 4, but it equals 30.
Right.
I think
right.
Is
yeah.
Kind of it in there. So this is really great, and you know, certainly these techniques that Janelle and Rob are talking about, these can really help people get past sexual issues that they might be dealing with and to start to create positive and experience positive sexual experiences, which is so important. We know in that programming of the brain, it's if it's not known any positive experiences, it has nothing to go by. So it automatically moves into these more negative spaces. But the techniques that they're using help us move into those positive experience spaces so that we really can get to that enjoyment that a lot of people want to have out of their relationship or have to enhance their relationship there. Now, it doesn't seem like we're winding down, but we've got about 20 more minutes here that we can work with. And I think you've been giving us a good idea in a lot of ways of sexy challenges. So I have a couple of things I want to touch on before we have to close the show out tonight. And one of those is I want you to share your sexy challenge heart-shaped box. And then after that, if maybe you've got a couple of tips for people with Valentine's Day coming up, things that they can do to just kind of create a little spice and fun for their Valentine's Day.
Okay. The heart-shaped box is obviously one of the sexy challenges, and it tries to relive that anticipation of those firsts that you've had in your relationship. So, you know, the first kiss, the first time you made love, and how you anticipated that and how it made you feel, those butterflies in your stomach, that type of thing. So what you do is you get a box, obviously a heart-shaped if you can find one. If not, any old box will do. And then you take turns putting things in this box and leaving it for your lover. And it can be anything. It doesn't have to be something sexual, but you could put a new sex toy in there, or it could be tickets to a show that your partner's been wanting to see, or it could even just be an old love note you found that you had written to one another at some point in time. And then you put those in that box, and then your partner, when he goes to get it and to find out what you left in there, there's that anticipation and that those butterflies are in their stomach again. It's like, what's going to be in there? It's just a really amazing way to show your love for each other, to relive some things that you've had in the past, and to branch out and find new things that you can enjoy with each other.
One of the things that I really like about this particular sexy challenge is that, first of all, when you put something in the box, you know, kind of set a day, like, okay, I'm going to place something new in the box on Tuesday, and that's when I'm going to be opening it to see what my partner has put in there. And then he wouldn't open it at the same time. So he would open the box on a different day at a different time so that you have this opportunity. It gives you a different chance to communicate, or rather it gives you a chance to communicate in a different way even, and maybe to have that courage to step just that little tiny bit out. Or maybe it's something you would be kind of uncomfortable asking face-to-face, or like, oh, my gosh, I don't know if he would like a massage, so I'm gonna like, I'm going to put this massage oil in there and we'll see what happens. So there's some different options with that, but it's just a really beautiful way, a different way to, like I said, open those lines of communication. And then even at some point, it almost could become a metaphor versus even the actual experience of it. It might be like, oh, you know what I want to put in our heart-shaped box? And then you can hopefully get to that place where it's even easier to just say something face-to-face that maybe you would have been uncomfortable earlier. But it's a really fun exercise, if you will, a fun, sexy challenge to, like Rob said, to enhance that, those butterflies. That starts with spontaneity. That's not what I was looking for.
Right.
But to spice it back up a little bit.
You know, and Janelle hit on the very important topic of communication and how it will allow you. Sometimes if we want to bring sex toys, as I mentioned in earlier, into a relationship, it's kind of hard just to work that out, to tell your partner, well, I'd like to try this. So putting it in this box, you know, and then your partner opens it when you're not around, and they obviously see what you want to try or what you want to do, and it takes away a little bit of that edge. And it also, in that situation, it also makes butterflies the other way because you're anticipating what they're going to, you know, what their reaction is going to be, or, yeah. you know. So it's a great way to communicate without having to speak.
And we are actually doing a in-depth virtual discussion around this particular sexy challenge on February the 13th. So perfect timing, because it's the night before Valentine's Day. And so that, as far as one tip to spice up Valentine's Day, so you could share with your partner and experience that virtual discussion. And because we're going to open the floor, if you will, for some questions and answers as well, so people get that chance to interact directly with us. And it's just, and then actually also we're going to share the full PDF version of that particular challenge, so they would be able to read the whole thing themselves and have it. So kind of cool. And how to access that's on our website, so which is sexychallenges.com.
That's really awesome. And one of the things that I like about this is the exchange. And I know it's one of the things I learned when I was doing some studying with Tantra, and that I oftentimes suggest to people that I'm working with, is to make sure that you're alternating. You want to be in that position where you're alternating receiving and giving with your partner. So, for example, one week your partner might be on the receiving end and you're doing the giving end, and then the next week those roles are reversed. And I think this also energetically, from my experience, helps to balance out our male and female energies and connect us more into a spirit space.
Well, and I think, too, another important piece for so many people to even become aware of is whether they are able to receive, because a lot of people are such givers that it's hard for them to receive, or for so many reasons it might be hard for them to receive. Or even just to become aware of, maybe if you are a little bit more of the receiver and you're not giving as much as would be beneficial and deserving in your relationship. So those are key points, I think.
Yeah, it is the balancing of the yin and yang there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think that's important things. So what about some tips for people that want to spice up their Valentine's Day?
Oh, my gosh, Rock. Full of tips. I mean, he's like, I don't know where his just comes. He channels it, I think. I don't know where it comes from.
Well, for Valentine's Day, one of the things that I love to do is to make an event out of it. Go full out. I mean, don't hold back. Don't just give the box of chocolates and the jewelry and fit into that thing.
Can I share our story from when we were dating?
Yes. I like to decorate the whole our bedroom, balloons, go full out, make it like a party in there. I think it really will express to your partner how powerful and how much you love them by making it more of a celebration than just the normal, here's your Valentine's Day card, I loved you.
Yeah, well, and for that matter, we actually, because our youngest child is just 5 and a half, and so we actually go full out even, and we decorate his room. And so it's in, and he just thinks that's freaking cool, and he has such fun, and, stuff, you put little, I think last year we ripped up, crepe paper into sections, like confetti, so when he turned on his ceiling fan, it went all over the room, which is a really cool thing to do with your partner. You could do it with confetti, or which makes a mess later, but or rose petals or whatever, and that's a really neat one. But it instills in him going forward, to make it at this beautiful day that's filled with love. When Rob and I were dating, that was, would be 12 years ago, I guess, this particular Valentine's Day. And I came home to my house, and I opened my garage door, and I'm like, what on earth? And there were just balloons filling my garage. They were attached to the garage door. There was just, it was, like you said, it was a party in my garage. It was this amazing welcome home. and he wasn't even there. You know, he had decorated it and snuck in and decorated it, and I had come home from teaching, and there it was. And of course, then I tried to shut my garage door.
Yeah, the end result wasn't so great. At least not the garage door off track. But
yeah, so I'm calling him up, going, "Would you come over and fix the garage door?" But I guess I got him to come over. But it's just that's a really cool thing to do, though, and it really isn't. It doesn't really take that much work. You know,
no.
It's not. You can do it in 15 minutes. You've decorated up a room.
Yes, and there's so many different ways you can do it. And like she said, with the flower petals on the ceiling fan, and then you turn the ceiling fan on when you and your partner are standing underneath of it, and you're just softly caressed by these flower petals as they're falling down upon you. It's a wonderful experience.
Another thing that I would say is just to change the mood, whether you change it with music and bring some kind of different music. One of our favorites is tribal music. We happen to like it. Or chanting or some kind of different music. And you can change the lighting. And it doesn't just have to be that, it's candlelight. Maybe you change the color of the light bulb, in your lamp, if you have a lamp or whatever in your bedroom or wherever. And the scents, and maybe you bathe with something that's different, that's appealing to your partner, or you have that scented candle or something that's different, or the different scented massage oil. It's just those different, picking up all those different sensations and gratifying all the senses. Another one that popped into my head is one of our intimate adventures, and I guess the short of it, the really, really brief of it, would be getting a bottle of bubbles, like when you're a kid, you know, and you blow bubbles, and you blow those bubbles onto your partner's naked skin, and it's a really cool feeling when those burst on your skin.
Yeah. We like to tell intimate adventure, we tell them that to imagine that every time a bubble pops on you, it's just a little mini orgasm. And sensation.
Yeah, or even like just even less than that, even just a kiss, you know, or that there's, you know, because your partner's breath has gone into this bubble, and so that love energy and that sexual energy has just now burst upon your skin. So it's really, I like that. It's a really, and just reading it is really beautiful.
Yeah.
But
those are great fun ideas also, and I think with times that are tough or when you have younger couples or even older couples, and you may not have a lot of money to spend at certain times, and a lot of these things, you can go and get those bubbles. You can get packages of like silk or whatever, rose petals from the dollar store.
Right,
yes.
And for like $10, you can really go all out with some candles or a colored light and the things that you're talking about, you can get a lot of stuff from, like I said, for example, a dollar store and really make it something special that is much more personalized, I think, in a lot of ways than some of the other traditional things.
Yeah. And
I agree 100%.
Because those inexpensive things are often, they just pack more of a punch, if you will. They're really, really, and all the 12, well, I guess this is going to be our 13th Valentine's, you know, the two that stick out are the one that I shared when we were dating, and the other one, I was pregnant with our youngest child, and Rob, you know, that one, it was a little bit more expensive. He gave me a ruby necklace, and it's hearts, but there's two hearts, and so what he told me at the time was because I was, you know, at that time had two hearts, our son's and my own, that I was carrying in my body, and so it was just very profound, but that was one of those more expensive Valentine's.
Right.
And, another thing, too, for the inexpensive, I mean, of course, we have the sexy challenges available on iTunes and on Amazon and at Barnes & Noble, but there on iTunes, there are as well, there are two free sexy challenges available. So, you know, that's there right at your fingertips.
Yeah.
That is if you have Apple products. But,
And for people that are wanting to connect with this and get on, again, your mailing list and take advantage of some of those free offers and participate in some of the group stuff you were talking about earlier, their website is sexychallenges.com, and they've got just a great sense of some information there, and everything's right on there for you to get to it. And I had some people commenting earlier, oh yeah, the website's great, it's really easy to maneuver around on there. So we're kind of, again, winding down to the last few minutes coming in here, maybe about 5 minutes left, and maybe you can share with us some upcoming events you have or things that you have going on or workshops or things like that.
Yeah. Sorry, I was reaching across you. I was like, what are you doing? Well, one of the newest programs that we have started to launch and to work directly with clients is Sex Magic for Couples, which, of course, sex magic technically becomes a whole different topic, it seems like. But it's really just about those metaphysical perspectives and being able to manifest amazing things into your life. So we offer that program. Of course, the information is on the website. But it really teaches how to, you know, gosh, deepen the bond with your partner again, how to stimulate your sex life, your emotions, and your spirituality. So it's just phenomenal. What we do in that is it's like a month-long program, and, you know, we work with a couple and really go through a brainstorming session and come up with a personalized plan, again, meeting that couple. Actually, we can do it with an individual, but, you know, meeting them where they are. And, of course, we can do this via Skype, via phone, or if somebody does live here close to where we are, kind of about in between Boulder and Denver, Colorado, we can, you know, meet them in person. So it's really a cool experience, and the transformation that we have seen in our clients and the things that they have manifested into their lives, really, as much as we've manifested in our lives by doing this, it still just leaves us in awe and just blows me away, the stuff that people can really accomplish very quickly, and how even, you know, I have one couple in my head that had this great sex life, but yet, oh my gosh, they brought this into their lives, and now they can't get enough of each other, and they've been married longer than we have, I think. So, you know, it's just, so that's one of the big things that we've got coming up. And there are also a couple other programs. Mind you, I don't have all the information on those on the site, but those are up and coming on the website. So, and then, like I said, the discussion, the actual virtual discussion that we're going to every month, and the first one is the 13th coming up here, that we're going to talk about a specific sexy challenge.
Right.
And it opens it up to, or we open up the floor then for question and answers as well. So that happens every month, and you just have to jump on the website and see that. Oh, and how could I not forget, or how could I forget to bring up Universal Orgasm Night?
Yeah, we have our, what we call UON, which is Universal Orgasm Night, which the next one will be on February 14th, which is Valentine's Day, so perfect timing for that. And basically, it's just people dedicating to having orgasms that night and letting that energy flow for the good of the world, wherever it needs to go, whether it be to help eliminate hunger, to, you know, better schools, whatever. That I feel like our sexual energy has an intelligence, and when we combine this all together and we get as many people as possible having creating this orgasmic energy, this sexual energy, that is going to create some good in our world. And that's a beautiful thing that we can do.
Sorry. So I always like to clarify that it's wherever you are in your personal space. So it's anywhere in the world, anytime.
Right. Your bedroom, your house, wherever. You just have an orgasm.
Yeah, whether you're with your partner or not, it doesn't really matter. It's just that amazing energy. So it's the sexual energy and the love energy that gets sent out into the universe. And as Rob said, you know, energy has consciousness or intelligence, and it just, so you don't have to have a specific exact intent for that particular day.
That's absolutely awesome and completely fantastic. You've just shared so much information with us tonight, and and given, I think, a lot of great suggestions and insights on the program tonight. And I really want to encourage anybody who missed the first part of the show or earlier parts of the show, go back, listen to it in the archives, because we had quite a bit of information come through here during the night. And, again, we've been talking with Rob and Janelle Alex, and they are the creators of Sexy Challenges, and their website is sexychallenges.com. Lots going on there. Check it out. Get in there. Maybe participate in Universal Orgasm Night, which sounds like it's absolutely fun and exciting. And I just want to remind people, too, you know, again, if you've enjoyed the show tonight, certainly share it with people, share it with friends and social media contacts or whoever you feel it's appropriate for in there. And I really want to thank the both of you for coming on tonight. It's been a real pleasure to have you here.
Oh, thank you. We really enjoyed being here with
you. The pleasure is ours. You've been a wonderful host. Thank
you. Yes, you have been. Beautiful.
Thank you so much. And I want to touch bases on some shows that we do have coming up because, wow, I just have to say I'm so amazingly blessed. I've got a gigantic lineup of people coming up. And starting with next week, one of my personal mentors is coming in to do an interview. And we're actually going to be going on the air early next week. So I want to clarify that. Ordinarily, we start at midnight Eastern time, and we're going to be starting at 8 p.m. Eastern time. So it's going to be an early show next week. And I've got guest Paul Byrol coming on. And instead of doing a traditional feng shui show for the Chinese New Year, I'm bringing Paul on with his expertise in herbalism to share with us different things about planting herbs and different plants in your garden to make sure that you're getting the maximum energy influence into those plants. And he'll be talking about different things like plants that should not be put together because they can release toxicity through the soil and kill each other off. So this is going to be a really big thing of making sure that you get the right plants in the right areas of your yard and your garden and things like that, as well as other things. Paul has authored over 34 books, I think it is, as well as founding a couple of organizations. So I'm really looking forward to having him on the show next week. And in addition to that, as we move on through over the next month here, I've got Stacy Hall coming on with her Chi to Be program, Laura Bedford coming on, Dr. Robert Newton, who's going to be coming on talking about theta brain waves and the fountain, you know, how that's a source of kind of like the fountain of youth. I've also got Dr. Margaret Rogers Van Koops coming up, and Thomas Christian Wolf, who is part of an exciting major event project, which is called the Messengers Event. So huge, huge things that are coming up on this show over the next month, month and a half here. And I just want to remind you again, I'm putting together that 2013 Compassion Tour, so stay tuned to follow up with that. All of my contact information is at the bottom of the show description, and you can find it there. You can connect with me both personally on Facebook as well as the Activating Compassion Facebook page. You can check out my blog at getyourblissontumblr.com. My website's in revision, so I apologize. It's a little chaotic at the moment with things like that. But this information, again, is all listed at the bottom of the show description. My books are available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com for paperback, and also through Smashwords for the ebook version, including Kindle and PDF options. And I also want to put out there that as a listener on the show tonight, whether you're listening live or in the archives of Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour, I'm offering 50% off of half-day and full-day coaching sessions and energy alignment sessions for couples. You can send me an email to lifeofbliss@q.com to get information on this. And you just need to contact me by February 14th to take advantage of that. The appointment can be for after February 14th, but you do need to contact me by February 14th. And you don't have to, again, you know, have the session by then, just have the contact.
in addition to that, I just really want to help people get going with anything that they're trying to make happen in their life this year. So through the end of this month, February, I'm still offering a free ebook version of both of my books. All you have to do is email me at lifeofbliss@q.com. I'm sorry, lifeofbliss@q.com to receive that. And then I also need to remind you, don't forget we've got several shows here on Main Street Universe throughout the week. Wednesdays is our flagship show with Daniel and Janice, and they address different topics and things throughout the week, have guests on. Oberon was just on the show this past Wednesday, really great show there. Of course, Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour on Friday nights. On Sundays, we have Darren Bouquet sharing his gift of psychic readings, and he works out of some of the shops there in New Orleans. Very well noted, he was just doing some interviews with Ellen DeGeneres. Also, we have Kevin Baird, who was in our chat room earlier. He's one of our hosts. He does walking on the sidewalk with his Horizon Oracle journeys, so also a great option for getting some readings. It's a very insightful, different type of divination deck there. And on Tuesdays, we now have Mary Phelan coming on with her work, kind of similar style or topics maybe in some ways to the shows I'm doing, with her own twist to it. Her show is going to be called Inner Wisdom, and that's on Tuesday nights. So I want to wrap up tonight and say this is Jesse Ann Nichols George. I want to thank you so much for being here and supporting the show. Remember to share it. I look forward to growing and continuing to bring you amazing guests on the show. And I do look forward to seeing you back here next week as we delve more into activating compassion. Don't forget, if you've enjoyed the show, share it with others. It's going to be available at the same link in the archives, or you can also go on to www.facebook.com/activatingcompassion/notes. And I'm going to leave you with the song tonight, Yearning For, also known as Over and Over by Shimshai. Thank you so much. I look forward to seeing you again next week right here on Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. May you enjoy the rest of your weekend and have an absolutely amazing week.
And if I could see what makes me blind, I would soar to the edge of my mind. And to touch what seems unreal, just to show you the way that I feel. And we are in time with time, one with season of change inside. And we are in tune with the tune, caught in a balance of sun and moon. Oh, deep inside, the light within, shining to show you it's here to begin. When all I have is all I need, I will soar to the edge of eternity. And we see in eye to eye, one within love to be for the divine. And we're walking hand in hand, caught in the balance of God and man. Learning to walk just a little bit slower, whispering secrets, I bet you can't keep it. No turning back now, this time we'll reveal it. Once you are another, all will discover the essence within the most beautiful lover. Time is still turning, the love is still burning. Deep in your spirit, your heart still yearning for. all we need. All that we ask for shall be received. And we see in eye to eye, one within love to be for the divine. And we're walking hand in hand, caught in the balance of God and man. And we are in time with time, one with the season of change in time. And we are in tune with the tune of life in the circle and love in blue. Over and over, like it's your lover, learning to walk just a little bit slower. Whispering secrets, I bet you can't keep it. No turning back now, this time we reveal it. One to another, all we'll discover the essence within the most beautiful lover. Time is still turning, the love is still burning. Deep in your spirit, your heart is still yearning.